25 years, Ed from Visalia. Let's give it up for Ed.
My name's Ed, I'm an alcoholic. So before I start, I want to say something to all our newcomers and people who are relatively new, welcome home. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I definitely was not on a winning streak. I'd been thrown out of houses, schools, jobs, you name it. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and people put their arm around me and said, welcome home. People said, look it, this is a place where we're all a bunch of alcoholics. And none of us get here on a winning streak. So anyone who is sitting here who feels lost, confused, everything else, you're going to find out that I was that guy too when I walked in. So if you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, I'm just going to tell you all welcome home. That somehow we all landed in the right place at Alcoholics Anonymous. As was mentioned, my sobriety date is January 4th, 1993. My home group is a Monday night Big Book meeting, and my sponsor is Jim D. from here in Visalia, and I hope that I always have those three things for the rest of my life. It's very important to me to be accountable to Alcoholics Anonymous, and those three things are three areas where I find myself really accountable because I know that I'm accountable to the people who are in my home group. I've got a sponsor who continually helps walk me through steps and helps guide me when I need guidance. And like I said, I've also got a sobriety date that I pray that sobriety date never gets changed. And I do those things to ensure that it never gets changed. But I am convinced, I will tell you all, I'm convinced that I was an alcoholic from the day I was born. I've heard people talk about that they get sober and they're like, well, I don't know. I'm one of these people from day one. I remember that I felt like the whole world was yin and I was yinging. That everyone around me kind of knew what they were supposed to be doing and how to go through life. And then there was Ed Fifield who's kind of going through life flailing away and not getting anything right. I can tell you in the third grade, I actually got in trouble for stealing mail out of mailboxes from our neighbor's mails. About the fifth grade, I got in trouble for stealing candy bars out of the local store, and somewhere in there I tried to run away from home, and that was all well before I had a drink. So I'm convinced that I was a nut job from the day I was born. And that behavior continued on all the way through my life. And it only took the working of Alcoholics Anonymous to change some of that behavior into who I was from day one. However, being a nut job, I could tell you now that my old man was drinking beers, and they had L.A. beers from Anheuser-Busch, which has not been made for 40 years. But I can tell you all, I could actually design that logo of that L.A. beer can of Anheuser-Busch beer that I got my hand on my first time on somewhere 12, 13 years old. I know to this date what that beer looked like. I know to this date what that beer tasted like. I know to this date that I did not get drunk on that beer. However, I know to this date that I started stealing beers out of my dad's refrigerator and drinking beers right after that because I knew at that point in time I understood why people drink. I began to get from a very early on, whenever people put alcohol in their bodies, they feel complete and they feel whole. And I will tell you, I never felt complete and I never felt whole. I never felt okay with the world around me. I will tell you all that I put a drink in my body and I felt okay with the world around me. Part of the reason I'm convinced I'm an alcoholic is the day I was born. Seventh grade year, I got our hands on as much wine coolers as we wanted, me and some buddies of mine. And I drank as much as I wanted and I went into a blackout. And I woke up in the morning and my friends told me that I had some of the things I had done the night before. And I truly thought at this point in time in the Fifield family that is normal. I actually thought it was normal. I literally didn't know that people don't black out until much later because that's just was normal for my life. I literally thought people blacked out after I did, and they remembered some stuff but not everything. To me, I just thought that's how people drink beers. I didn't know that people go and have one or two beers. My wife has wine in the fridge today, and I don't understand it because to me, alcohol is this great substance that changes everything and makes us all delusional and grandiose, and that's what alcohol did for me. And I needed alcohol because it at least helped me feel comfortable. It at least helped me feel at one with the world around me. I will tell you all that alcohol saved my life. That as crazy as my world growing up, as crazy as things were in junior high school and high school, when I put alcohol in my body, I was okay. I chased for alcohol because alcohol helped me feel okay with being with you. alcohol helped me feel like I could talk to people. It helped me run from who I thought that I was, and helped me become who I thought I wanted to be. But the bottom line is that alcohol, this kid whom, again, was already lashing out at society as early as the third grade, I put alcohol in my body and I actually felt okay with you guys. And I don't know about the rest of you, but when I don't feel okay with you, and then you give me a substance where at least I can feel like I'm okay with the world around me, I'm going to chase that substance forever. And that substance truly was alcohol. And truly, when I got drunk and I went into a blackout, I was okay. And everything that went on, I was able to forget about. I was able to do things that I couldn't normally do whenever I was sober. Alcohol was literally a tool for me to get through many of those years. I had no idea that I was alcoholic at the time. Again, I'm telling you, I'm convinced I've been alcoholic since day one. I had no idea that being a blackout drunk was not normal. So I got arrested a couple times for stealing alcohol and for stealing gas. And I'll tell you, even those times, so there's a reason I'm telling you this, and that's I became my image of an alcoholic. And that's what got me sober. I got arrested for stealing alcohol, and I remember this like it was yesterday. It was a Friday night. Me and some buddies of mine got together, and I stole a case of beer from a local Friars grocery store. I got arrested. They took me to the local police department. My mom picked me up the next morning. Saturday night, I go out. We go to steal gas. I get arrested in the same town, and I went to the exact same local police department with the same lady looking at me saying, I thought you said you were never going to be back here again. But when all that happened, it never clicked on me that alcohol was a problem. So they sent me to a deal called Task Class, where once a week I had to go pee in a cup and go through and guys talk about alcohol and alcoholism and all that stuff. I got introduced to what alcoholism was at that point in time, but there was no way that anyone was going to convince me I was alcoholic. Alcohol was, again, it was my solution. Alcohol was my obsession. I will tell you, soon after this, I was living with my mom. My mom ran off because she was basically tired of us kids, so she ran off and got married and moved to California. My dad was living in New Mexico, and me and my sister were living in Arizona by ourselves. What little control, I was 16 at the time, what little control of alcohol might someone have had on me, it was gone. So now we're going through school, and there is always alcohol at our house. There's always people at our house. We're always getting drunk. We're literally living on alcohol. And yes, our house was a party house and everything else. I managed to get through school, but I got bounced around a few times from our parents' house. One, because someone would try and tell me to control me or to tell me what I needed to do. I wasn't going to listen to anyone. I had my own life figured out. I knew what I could do. There was no adult figure that was going to try and guide me or tell me to be home or anyone at point in time. I just wasn't listening. To be honest with you, to this date, I'm still not good at listening to people. I don't trust really anyone. To this date, I've got a few people that I trust, but I don't trust a lot of people. It doesn't come natural to me. At that point in time, I guarantee you, there was no one I was going to trust, family, friends, or anyone else. I was literally going through life doing what Ed Fifield wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, with absolutely no regard for anyone around me. I remember, now I can look back and see them getting arrested and seeing my mom's face and her looking at me like, oh my gosh, my son's getting arrested, because she literally walked outside while I'm getting put in the car. Now I can look back and I can see the disgust or whatever in her face. At that point in time, I didn't care. When we were stealing things and if it was affecting anyone else, I didn't care. I had figured out that if there was anything that I was going to get in life, I was going to get it one way or the other. And I literally had no regard for anyone else, for my pleasure or for what I wanted. I mean, as I mentioned, I got in trouble a few times. My dad was working, and there were times whenever he had to lock his wallet away because I would go in the middle of the night and I would take $20 out of my dad's wallet so we could go buy beer because I needed to have money for beer. Absolutely no regard for what we were doing to someone else. I just didn't care. So I got in trouble a few times around alcohol. Like I said, I got bounced around a little bit. my freshman year of college, again, I was running. So I moved three or four different times through high school to different family members' houses. One more time, I graduated high school, and I decided to run, and I moved to a different place to go to college. And I was living in dorms in this college, and I met this gal, and we were together for 4 months. And I'm going to tell you guys, I never did anything for 4 months. Up until my current wife, I never dated anyone longer than 4 months, okay? So here I am on this 19-year-old kid. I'm absolutely in love with this woman. We've been together for 4 months. We're talking about getting a house and all this fun stuff. I buy her this beautiful promise ring, and we're going to have all of our lives together. And the crazy horse stuff that you do whenever you're, you know, madly in love as a kid. And that was me. And I just felt she was the world. And so we get together. About 3 months before this, so while I was going through college, again, I had a fake ID. I'll tell you, I realized I once drank beer in Mexico when I was in high school. In Mexico, you can drink at 18. Besides that, I never had a legal drink in my life because whenever I was drinking, I had a fake ID. But I got sober before I was 21. And at this point in time, I got a fake ID. I'm living in campus. I got a cooler in my fridge with beer in it. I literally failed out of college because I was not going to school to go to college. I was going to school to drink beers and chase around Christina. Well, we get together. It's her birthday, January 3rd. Again, Ed Feifeld goes into a blackout. I woke up in the morning. She was gone. My front door was wide open. I had a cut on my leg. I went and saw her, and this woman was just bawling. And this woman told me how I had pleaded with her, how I had yelled at her, how I had kicked her truck, how I had kicked the hole in the wall, how I verbally just screamed and yelled at her and her friend that was with. And I just became this raging, pissed off alcoholic whenever I went to blackout. For me, the image of the alcoholic was the raging, pissed off, blacked out alcoholic. For me, the image of the alcoholic was not the guy who gets a DUI, was not the person who is falling down happy, giddy, drunk. That was not, to me, the image of the alcoholic. To me, the image of the alcoholic was a person who goes and just goes off the handle and just starts yelling and throwing things and kicking things and yelling at people. That's, to me, that was the image of an alcoholic. So I went and talked to Christina. Again, a month ago, had someone told me, Ed, you're alcoholic and you're going to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have told them no way. They were absolutely crazy and we would have been fighting because there was no way I was alcoholic. I was convinced that alcohol was my solution. We get together for this woman's birthday. I give her beautiful promise ring because we're in love. Out comes the vodka. Out comes the beers. Ed Feifeld is again getting drunk, again going into a blackout. Again, I woke up in the morning and I went and talked to this woman. And for whatever reason, that day, I remember, again, I pray to God I never forget this moment in my life. For whatever reason, that day, I went and spoke to her. She explained to me everything I did the night before. And I went out and I drove up in the White Mountains, which was a mountain range by my house. And I will tell you, for the first time in my life, I actually asked God, what should I do? And the answer was, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I sat there, and I literally remember just sitting on that rock for a while and just talking to God. And it's the first time I'd ever emotionally or any way had a discussion with God about it. Okay, there might be something wrong here. Well, I went back to school. For the first time in my life, I called Alcoholics Anonymous, and some guy answered the phone. I said, this is me. I'm living at the dorms at Embry-Riddle. He's like, great. There's a wonderful Alano club right by you in Prescott, Arizona. That night, I went to a meeting in Prescott, Arizona, and the same way I told you, people looked at me, and they put my arms around me and said, welcome home. Again, I did not come here on a winning streak. Again, I failed out of college. Again, people were all pissed off at me. Again, there was no one who really wanted to be around me. I'm not on a winning streak in life, and I walked in Alcoholics Anonymous. And these people in Alcoholics Anonymous said, Ed, welcome home. So I walk into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will tell you the number one thing that I pray, I'm convinced I'm right, that day when I went out that morning and I asked God, what should I do? And he said, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. That day I did the first step. When I walked into my first meeting, just like I did tonight, and I said, my name's Ed and I'm an alcoholic, I did the first step. That is the one thing in Alcoholics Anonymous that I have done right, continuously. Everything else I've screwed up on, to be quite honest with you. I go to meetings in Prescott, Arizona. I don't trust anyone. I don't like anyone. Everyone's all old men in there, and I don't want to listen to them. And I'm this kid, and I'm not going to spend the rest of my life without drinking. How miserable is that going to be? so I don't necessarily want to open up to these people. Well, there were a few people in college who were there who kind of said, Ed, come with us. But I never truly trusted anyone. So the true thought of me actually doing a four-step, the second half of the first step is that my life is unmanageable. I did not figure out the second half of the first step until I was 2.5 years sober. After that year of college, Embry-Riddle very nicely said, you're not cutting out for college, maybe you should go to community college for a while. So I moved home. I wasn't working. I was a bum. My old man threw me out of the house. A friend of mine at the time got thrown out of the house too. So I'm about, let's say I'm 3 months sober at this point in time. A buddy of mine got thrown out of the house. So we both moved down to a different town, Tucson, Arizona. And we're living in a little white toiletry cell, bumming food off of people, going to Winchell's Donuts, asking for food. I go into Alcoholics Anonymous, and nice people in Alcoholics Anonymous. A dude let us take a shower at his house once every couple days because he knew that Toyota Tercel was home. So he's like, you guys are trying to get jobs. So this guy in Alcoholics Anonymous let us take showers at house. Well, eventually we end up getting a place to stay in Tucson, Arizona. I'm 3 months sober. My buddy's a month sober. And we both look at each other. We're like, we've known each other forever. We know each other better than anyone else. We got this whole Alcoholics Anonymous deal figured out. Let's make a deal. You sober me, and I'll, or you sponsor me, and I'll sponsor you. For 3 months, you guys, me and Dustin sponsored each other in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm telling you guys, for 3 months, we were running ape crap wild, and we weren't doing nothing in Alcoholics Anonymous. If we could get in trouble, we were getting in trouble. The only difference is alcohol wasn't causing, there wasn't alcohol as a buffer between me and society. Well, I'm going to tell you, that type of behavior went on for 2.5 years. At 2.5 years sober, I had moved 7 times. I had been thrown out of an apartment. I'd moved back and forth from Arizona to California, to Northern California, back to Arizona, to a job where I was driving all over the country. I was just a whack job. Because I knew I couldn't drink. I knew I was alcoholic. I got the first out of the first step right. But I didn't do anything else in Alcoholics Anonymous. So my life was not unmanageable. If my life's not unmanageable, I don't have to look at me. I don't have to worry about trusting anyone. I don't have to do anything. I can just live this crazy life where I just come to Alcoholics Anonymous and say, my name's Ed and I'm alcoholic. I don't have to do anything else. Well, guess what? I became much more miserable in those 2.5 years than I was whenever I was drunk. And I got to the point in those 2.5 years where the truly beginning of my sobriety happened as I look at my sobriety. Again, I'm trying to do everything. I was living in San Luis Obispo. I was working full-time. I was trying to go to school full-time. I was trying to go to Alcoholics Anonymous full-time. And I was absolutely miserable. I'd be driving up and down the Cuesta Grade, literally thinking about driving my pickup off the side of the Cuesta Grade because I just couldn't do it anymore. Well, I called in sick at a place I worked at. And I went downtown San Luis Obispo and went walking around in there. Well, I saw my boss because there was a musician who was doing a scene downtown. The musician calls me up on stage. Remember, I'd called in sick that morning. I'm on up on stage doing some deal with the musician, and my boss is sitting out in the stands. So Ed Fifield's best logic, I called and said, I quit my job because I'm going to run. I called Kurt and said, Kurt, for the first time, I actually called Kurt and said, Kurt, I'm dying. Kurt, I'm hurting. Kurt, I just did this and I quit. I don't know. I can't do this. I'm going to tell you guys, it's the first time I'd ever told someone I can't do anything. That day was the first time I'd ever opened up a human and said, look, it, I am hurting inside. I need your help. So for the 2.5 years of moving, of not doing the deal, of running through people's lives, of all kinds of stuff that, some stuff, Frank, I was better at because there was no longer a buffer between me and society. I could up and leave in the middle of the night out of places, people's lives, much better because there was no longer alcohol as a buffer between me and society. On that day at 2.5 years sober, I called Kurt, and Kurt laughed, and I didn't appreciate that one bit. He just laughed and said, oh, it's about time you finally called and asked something for help. His next question for me was, Ed, how long have you lived anywhere? I said, well, 3 months? He says, that's the longest you lived anywhere in sobriety. Yeah, I lived 3 months. That's a pretty good job. He's like, how long is your longest relationship? 4 months? How long was your longest job? I don't know, maybe 2-3 months in there? Nothing consistent, okay? Because I didn't do anything consistent. I didn't stick around anywhere for anything. Kurt says, Ed, do me a big favor. commit to staying in San Luis Obispo for a year. I'd never done anything for a year, you guys, okay? He says, commit to staying here for a year. For whatever reason, I listened to Kurt, and I became at that point in time finally teachable in Alcoholics Anonymous to do the deal of Alcoholics Anonymous. I finally become teachable at that point in time to read the second half of the first step, which states that my life is unmanageable. If I never admit that my life's unmanageable, I can never look at the fact that I'm insane. If I'm not insane, there's no reason for me to turn my will and life over to care of God. There's no four-step. There's no ninth-step. There is no nothing because my life's unmanageable. Well, Kurt looks at me and says, Ed, let's start talking about unmanageability. He's like, I get it that you get your alcoholic. I don't question it one bit. He says, but everything else, you're full of it. You haven't done any of it. So Kurt looks at me and says, okay, Ed, let's look at the second half of the first step. Let's look at where your life is unmanageable. I didn't think it was. At that point in time, I was living in an Airstream trailer that had frogs in the bathroom, so I could not use the restroom. I was able to take showers in there, but after work, I would have to go and use the restroom somewhere else or at work because the plumbing didn't work very well. There was not a working stove or anything in the house, so I was literally living off of microwave food, and there was a little bit of milk cartons in the fridge that I had breakfast from. It was the best that I could do, though, you guys. At that point in time, I didn't see anything wrong with it. It was the best that I could do at that point in time. Kurt looks at me and says, Ed, try it our way for a little bit. He says, Ed, let's try and make a list of where your life is unmanageable. And the fact that you're living in that trailer with those frogs in that world is unmanageable, Ed. He says, that is not a normal person's way of life. So we start looking at where my life is unmanageable. And he finally convinces me, now again, I'm 2.5 years sober, he finally convinces me to look at the fact that my life is unmanageable. Well, once I've actually admitted that my life is unmanageable, now there's another 11 steps that we get to work on that are helping me grow and become a human. I'm going to tell you all now, Alcoholics Anonymous raised me. Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into a human. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous at that point in time at 2.5 years, and my home group was a meeting at the the Melody Group over in San Luis Obispo, and I got a coffee commitment. And every Wednesday night, my coffee commitment was I was washing coffee cups. And you know what? I learned how to have a commitment in washing coffee cups. Kurt tells me to get there 5 minutes early and stay 15 minutes late to get to know people. I start showing up to meetings 15 minutes early, and I start staying 15 minutes later. I learn to slowly get to know people and become accountable to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm telling you, that job that I left, that I quit and I left, was the last job that I've left on bad terms in my last 25 years. Alcoholics Anonymous taught me to become responsible. By learning to wash coffee cups, I learned to actually get up and go to work every day. I learned to be responsible to have a job and keep it for long term. I didn't know that I was going to learn that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought I was going to learn to not drink. Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into a human. I'm convinced of it to this date that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into a human being. And I didn't know that I wanted to be turned into a human being when I got sober. I knew I wanted to not drink. As long as I didn't drink anymore, as long as I did not do any of the behavior I was doing when I was drunk anymore, that was going to be good enough for Ed Fifield. Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into a human being. Alcoholics Anonymous taught me so I'm living in San Luis, and there's about a dozen people over there who are all in college. And one of them says, Ed, what are you going to be doing in the next 5 years? So I'm bucking hay for a living, making $8 an hour. He says, Ed, what are you going to be doing in 5 years from now? I said, well, I'll probably be manager at this place I'm bucking hay at. He says, why don't you not spend those 5 years bucking hay and consider going to college? So this guy gets me to enroll in Cuesta College, and he teaches me how to be a student. And again, being responsible is something that I don't do very well. Actually doing homework is something I don't do very well. Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to do these things that I didn't know that I didn't know how to do very well. And I didn't know that this is what I was going to get when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was going to get sober. Part of this, of coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, is looking at our past and figuring out what we had done wrong and righting some of our wrongs. So I did my fourth step. For the first time, shared with someone all of my life, good, bad, and ugly. Kurt actually had me do it with a pastor, so I did it with a pastor, but then me and Kurt afterwards talked about the important stuff in there. So now I've actually shared with someone everything that's going on in my life for the first time in my life.
Excuse me.
And then he says, now you're going to go start making amends. Well, I wasn't that bad. Come on. I don't have too many things to make amends for. The ones I do, I don't really have to do. Do I, Kurt? I can end up. So some of the, I will tell you that the worst one, I had to make a lot. Like I said, I got in trouble a couple times for stealing. I made a lot of amends for stealing a lot of alcohol, a lot of cigarettes, a lot of gas. I made amends for taking my car and destroying people's front yards and their houses with my car. The worst one I made, again, I didn't respect anyone else's belongings. So the absolute worst amends I made is that whenever I was in high school, we got drunk one night. And Arrowhead Country Club was this beautiful country club with these beautiful golf courses, beautiful holes, this beautiful place. And one night, me and my buddies took my old Plymouth Fury out there, and I spun a whole bunch of donuts. I did all kinds of damage to the greens, to the fairways, everywhere else, just one night drunk, just having a good old time at that country club. 5 years later, I walk in that country club, and I said, my name's Ed Fifield, and I've done this. And the guy looks at me and says, thank you very much, now get out. I said, can I do anything? He says, no, thank you very much. I need you to leave. Basically saying, thanks. Whatever you did, you did. I appreciate it. I don't ever want to see you again. But I'll tell you what it did for me. I walked out of there. I walked whenever I was done doing those amends. And I now know that nothing in my life can come back to haunt me. There is no, if my DNA shows up somewhere, if my fingerprints show up somewhere, I'm not going to get arrested for something I did 25 years ago. No one's going to come and knock on my door today and say, Ed, you SOB, you did this to me 30 years ago. It's not going to happen. As a result of making those amends, I realize that today I get to walk a free person. Today I get to walk where there is no one that I am running from. I get to chase whatever dreams I want to chase because I still enjoy chasing dreams, but I get to do them without being, like I said, without the fear of the past, without the fear of one of the promises we will not regret the past nor to shut the door on it. I don't regret any of that stuff. I got to do it all. One of the great things in regards to that, so I was complaining one night. So there's a few moments in my sobriety that I will never forget. This is another one. One night I was complaining to Kurt about something. And Kurt looks at me after about 10 minutes of me complaining to him, and he says, Ed, can I tell you something? I said, what's that, Kurt? He says, you're not a victim. I said, what do you mean? He says, you put yourself in that position. You were there. You were a willing party to everything that happened that came out. He said, from the moment that you've been an adult till now, everything that's happened in your life has happened as a direct result of your actions. Again, another life lessons that whatever is going to happen, good or bad, in my life, I am responsible for. So if I am complaining about something that happened and I have put myself in a position that happened, that I am not the victim. I was a willing participant in whatever happened. And it very much, he harped on me about you are responsible for everything that happens in your life. So if you want to improve your life, it is up to you. If you want to be a bum all your life, go be a bum. If you think you want to go to school, great, you are responsible for your life. There is no one who is going to keep you from doing it. And if you're going to do it, it's up to you to do it. So he really harped on me about, you know what, Ed, you are responsible for your life. That Alcoholics Anonymous is here to help you become the human you want to be, but you are also responsible for everything that you want to do. That if you want to live a sober life, you are going to work the steps. No one's going to do it for you. If you want to go to meetings on a regular basis to stay sober, then you're going to get your butt out of bed and you're going to go to meetings on a regular basis and stay sober. That I am 100% responsible for my life. I'm telling you, my life's not perfect. I mentioned that job I had 25 years ago where I got fired from was the last place I actually left on bad terms. One of my jobs that I worked for, I was doing work for them, and me and one of my bosses did not get along with each other at all. I had two bosses. One loved me and one hated me. The one that hated me wanted nothing to do with me, and eventually, when I was working here, he actually fired me. 2 weeks later, the one that loved me called me back and said, "Hey, Ed, I don't know what was up with you guys, but you're not leaving. We're still doing work together." So he tells me, "You can't work with this guy anymore, but you're going to work with me." But he told me instead of actually having to work as an employee there, he offered me the chance to start my own business and to work with him as a subcontractor instead of working with him as his boss. He says, "We'll give you this opportunity to do this. We'll provide you the opportunity to it, and we'll be one of your customers, but you're not going to be my employee because we can't have you as my employee." Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to go to work every day, to be an employee. Well, guess what? When I started becoming self-employed, there was no one pushing me, you guys. There was no one who said there's an alarm going off and you got to go clock in at place X at 8 o'clock in the morning. When I speak of Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into a human, today I get to be responsible enough to be self-employed and to work for myself and know that if I want to make any money, I'm not punching a clock. If I want to make any money, I've got to go and jump up the business. I got to go work for free, knocking on people's doors to try to get business to become reasonably successful at what I do. I never had the will or the drive or the ability to go and randomly knock on people's doors and try and develop business. That was not something that I could have ever even dreamed of doing because I couldn't have got there. Had you asked me what I wanted when I was sober, do you have the ability to do this, was never in the cards because I could never got here. I got here because Kurt looked at me 22 and a half years ago, and said, "Ed, you're going to start washing coffee cups every night at the Promises meeting on Wednesday, or the Melody Group on Wednesdays in San Luis Obispo." And I started washing coffee cups in the Promises meeting in San Luis Obispo on Wednesday nights. That is why I get to do what I get to do today, because Alcoholics Anonymous is what turned me into a human. I'm still growing. I still have to work the steps on a regular basis. As recently as within the last 3 months, I did a nice thorough four-step on some stuff that was coming up with my sponsor to where I'm still working on improving on a daily basis. But I feel very grateful today because I get to walk through life as an alcoholic and as someone whom does not regret the past, nor wish to set the door on it, and as someone who gets to live a fulfilling life that I could have never got without Alcoholics Anonymous. So I want to say thank you to you all, because the reason I'm standing here is because Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. So thank you all. That's all I have.
Let's give another round of